this morning we begin to look at the chapter of the book of Mark that is the halfway point in the gospel. And as we begin this halfway point in Mark's gospel, we come to a text at the beginning of chapter 8 that is strangely familiar. We see Jesus feeding a great crowd with this miracle of bread and fish. And we ask ourselves, haven't we seen this before? Wasn't it just a couple of chapters ago where Jesus was feeding the 5,000? Haven't we worked our way through this text already in the Gospel of Mark? Now this morning, as we come to Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10, we see that there are big similarities between what happened in chapter 6 when Jesus feeds the 5,000. But these are two different texts, and they're two different texts that need to be dealt with differently. They're given in the gospel as two texts. This morning, we'll consider Mark 8, 1 through 10, and we see Jesus feeding the 4,000. And I want you to consider, as we see Jesus feeding the 4,000, how often mercies are repeated in your life. How often does God in Christ provide for you again and again, even in the same manner? God is gracious to his people. Now we begin this morning looking at this text with our first heading, which we will call the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ. Draw your attention to the first three verses of the text. And it says, in those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. Now, if you have your Bible open or an app open, you can go back to chapter 7 and see that Jesus and the disciples are in a region called Tyre and Sidon. We saw that in chapter 7, and that is north of the border of where the people of God reside, north of the covenant community. This is in Gentile territory. Now, chapter 8 begins with the phrase, in those days. That tells us that there's no geographical shift. There's not a big time division where a chapter closes and there's the blank page and you turn to a new chapter and the scene begins in a totally different location. In those days, there's continuity that we see between chapter 7 and chapter 8, and I want you to understand that it is important that they are in this region that is Gentile territory. The fame of Jesus has followed him, and it's resulted in this great crowd gathering. Now, Mark does not focus on what Jesus taught in those 3 days. He gives this 3-day time where these people have been following Jesus, and there's no indication as to what Jesus has been teaching. But what we do see is what Jesus does rather than what Jesus says. The crowd is hungry, and Jesus announces to the disciples, I have compassion on the crowd. Now notice that in verse 2. I have compassion on the crowd. This gathering has nothing to eat, and Jesus proactively gathers the disciples and says to them that this group of people is hungry and in need of provision. And this is done because the heart of Jesus is moved with compassion. Now, this word compassion is a word that we've talked about in the Gospel of Mark already. It is a word in Greek that is related to the inner organs deep within the person, the innards of a person. And those organs in the mind of the ancient is that those organs are moved, and that causes this compassion to come. Or there's a connectedness between the moving of the organs and the compassion that flows out of a person. It means being moved with yearning, or being moved with sympathy, or being filled with pity. And this is what we see from the Lord Jesus. Now think with me for a moment on who Jesus is. As you think about who Jesus is and what those attributes are that make up Jesus, if you had opportunity, say in 5 minutes, to introduce someone that did not know Christ, you had 5 minutes to tell them about Jesus Christ, how would you describe him? What are the words that you would use? What do you think of when you think of who Jesus is, even as you consider his dealings with you or his dealings with others? Do you think of the Lord Jesus as one who is compassionate, one who is moved with love towards those that are hurting and even those who are hungry and in need? This is the Jesus of the Bible. And sometimes we need to make correctives in our thinking and correctives in how we consider who Jesus is. Now, there's times when we think of the holiness of God and we look to Christ and we tremble in fear because we know we are sinners and we know that God hates sin. And that's an appropriate and biblical understanding of who Jesus is. We see that in Revelation. We see the sword proceeding from his mouth as he comes to judge the nations. But that's not all. We're not to have a one-sided view of who Jesus is, but we are to look to the scriptures and say, look at all of this that encompasses who Jesus Christ is. There's a saying that says that there are ditches on both sides of the road. You know, if you're going to fall off the road in a ditch, the corrective isn't to go all the way to the other side and fall in that ditch. That you walk in the center of the road. You walk down the road as it's intended to be. A Jesus that is all wrath and judgment is not a biblical Christ. And a Jesus that is all love and tenderness is not a biblical Christ either. But we must see both of these things. We must see the full scope of who Jesus is. And when we come to this section of the Gospels, we should take time to meditate and even to marinate with joy in who Jesus Christ is in this text. Christ is moved with compassion. J.C. Ryle once said, he has compassion even on those who are not his people. the faithless, the graceless, the followers of this world. He feels tenderly for them, though they know it not. He would receive them graciously and pardon them freely if only they would repent and believe on Him. He has a special love. He has a general love of compassion even for the unthankful. His love passes knowledge. Friends, let that be a part of your meditation this week. To look at the compassion of Jesus Christ. To look at His tenderness and His love for sinners, even those that are hungry and those that may be following Him for reasons that are less than godly or less than biblical. Concerning this compassion, I also want you to realize that Jesus has compassion concerning the bodies of men as well. He's concerned about the body's well-being. Maybe when you think of Jesus and His compassion, you would think of that as being directed primarily to the soul. He wants sinners to repent and to believe. He wants sinners to trust in Him and to not go to hell. But we see here also Jesus' compassion for the things of the body. That which is temporal is something for which Jesus here is compassionate. We must remember that both the body and the soul are important. That God has created humanity with both body and soul and does not divide them in His care. But there is care for both body and soul. Jesus says, I have compassion. But I want you to see something else in the text as well. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. It says, and His disciples answered Him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? The disciples hear of the compassion of Christ expressed, and they see the problem that's before them. They see a huge crowd that's gathered. They see that people are hungry. They see that they don't have the ability to provide for them. And they ask, how could we feed them in this desolate place? Our second heading is the slowness of the disciples. The slowness of the disciples. The disciples hear of Jesus' desire to feed the 4,000 that are gathered, and their response is simply, how could we do that? They don't know how they could do it. Do they not remember that just a chapter and a half ago, the Lord Jesus used them to feed 5,000 men plus women and children in a similar circumstance? How could they not remember? Now remember the last time that they fed a great crowd, there were towns nearby. You remember that? They said, we got this money, Jesus, let's just send them into the towns so that they can get lunch, so that they can get the food that they need. And the Lord Jesus provided for the people. But this time it's a bit different. They are in a desolate place. There's no towns around. There's not that initial reaction that says, well, you know, they could go down to all of the restaurants on Colorado Boulevard. There's some nice coffee shops on Eagle Rock, a really nice one that just opened by the little Target. We could just send people there. But no, they're in a desolate place. Does not their faith extend to desolate places? Does not belief extend beyond the borders of town and beyond the ability for nearby provisions? And even do they have a faith that makes its way into desolate places, places that are isolated, places that are lonely, places that are without other people, places that are far off? We see the slowness of the disciples here, don't we? Now, you might think that it's silly for them to not have remembered the previous miracle of bread. And maybe you're sitting here saying, you know, Pastor Nathan, I get what you're saying, but I wouldn't have done that. I would have said, Jesus, I know that you can provide fish and loaves. You've done it before. Can you do it again? I wouldn't be like the disciples. I wouldn't be slow. How often do we see the disciples slow in their responses? And in many ways, this is the centerpiece of Mark chapter 8. As we go and we look further, we're going to see the Pharisees and the Pharisees demanding a miracle. And Jesus says, how slow is this whole generation? And then the people, the disciples, will be on the boat. And again, they'll be out of bread. And they'll say, well, we don't know how to eat. And how slow is this generation? How slow are the disciples of Christ in their hearts and minds in gathering to know who Jesus is? And then we'll come to this healing of a blind man. And Jesus will begin to heal him. And he'll say, what do you see? And he will say, I see men, but they are as trees walking. You know, maybe you can close your eyes and squint and you can see all the people lined up and you can visualize. Maybe they're like trees walking. And Jesus heals him again. A slowness of healing. And then, who do you say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah. Some say that you are one of the prophets, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, you are correct. And then what happens? Peter rebukes Jesus for saying he's going to die. There is a slowness of the disciples in comprehending and in gathering and in understanding who Jesus is. And I don't want you to look to the disciples and see this as the comedy section of the gospel. I want you to look to the disciples and confess even before God, how often do you fail in remembering who Jesus is? How often do you fail, and myself included, do you fail in understanding the purpose of Jesus or how Jesus has revealed himself to you as the Son of God, the Savior of mankind? The disciples are slow to understand, and they will continue to be slow through the remainder of the Gospels. But I want you to remember that we too are slow. We are slow in gathering a comprehension of God's mercies for you. You are slow in remembering that that Christ died for sinners, and that basic syllogism that if Christ died for sinners and I am a sinner, then Christ died for me. You are slow in understanding that God desires you to grow in holiness and to increase in love and increase in faith and increase in piety and in holiness. How slow are you in remembering God's mercies to you? Last week we celebrated the Lord's Supper, and like many, the meditations on sins that ought to be repented of and things we want to change in our lives. How many of you had the same prayers that you've prayed so many times before? Here, the disciples say, "We don't know how to provide food in the desert." Jesus had just done it a chapter and a half previously. They are slow of heart. And friends, you and me, we are slow of heart as well. What are your areas where you need to bring before the Lord? What are those concerns and that slowness that even today you could confess before Jesus and maybe be encouraged, knowing that you, as a disciple of Christ, are not much different than those that have gone before you, that somehow your piety and your experience as a Christian is not so far removed from those that have gone before you. That should be an encouragement. It shouldn't be a rebuke. It shouldn't be sitting around your dinner table this afternoon saying, "Pastor Nathan admonished us for being slow. Pastor Nathan was grumpy today." No, I'm trying to encourage you that your Christian life and your slowness in the Christian life is not much different than those that have gone before you. Press on, brother. Press on, sister. The disciples should give you hope, because Jesus is patient with them. Patient with their slowness of heart. So we've seen the compassion of Christ. We've seen the slowness of the disciples. But Jesus actually provides for this crowd as well, doesn't he? And we see, lastly this morning, we see the provision of bread. The provision of bread. Jesus doesn't just say, "You know, disciples, you guys figure this out. We've done this." And he doesn't just leave them there in their slowness of heart to figure that out. He again patiently, with compassion towards the multitude and with a great love and tenderness towards his disciples, he again walks them through this provision of bread. He instructs the disciples, much like he did in Mark 6. And it's Jesus providing for the disciples providing for the people. And we see that in both of these miraculous feedings, 5,000 and 4,000, we see there are similarities. There's compassion from Christ. There's a great crowd. There's loaves and fish. There's the question from the disciples about provisions. We see satisfied people. We see leftovers to spare. But there's also differences in these provisions. We see less baskets in this account. We see less people, a lot less people. This is 4,000 people. That was 5,000 men. There's a different Greek word used for fish. This one being more general. The previous one being more specific. And we see both of these incidents are spoken of later in the chapter. You know, so you'll have critical theorists that will say, well, this is just a copyist error, and, you know, Mark must have put his pen down and had some coffee and came back and had forgotten that he'd written this in the Bible, and he writes it again. And that's the kind of nonsense that is popular. But they're different stories. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus says, in the first account and in the second account, these are clearly two different accounts of two different provisions, similarities and differences, but we need to understand that. We need to understand, why are both of these here? What is the meaning of this? Why are there two accounts? Well, we see that this is part of the work of Christ as the prophets understood. We see that the Messiah will come to his people and he will provide for them. He will give provision, and then he will go to the Gentiles and he will give provision. Mark 6 is Jesus feeding the 5,000 among the Jews. Mark 8 is Jesus feeding the 4,000 among the Gentiles. And think about the book of Acts. Think of the way that the book of Acts is set up. Isn't it the case that the Jews are gone to first and then the Gentiles? We see even with Pentecost, there's a Pentecost for the Jews, and then there's something else that looks like Pentecost for the Gentiles. And then as the missionary journeys continue, you go to the Jew and then you go to the Greek. And even here, we see that structure of the Messiah coming, Christ coming, providing for the Jews, the provision of bread, Mark chapter 6, providing for the Gentiles, the provision of bread, Mark chapter 8. The Messiah will feed the people of God. He will feed Israel, and then he will go to the lost sheep of Israel. He will go to those that are scattered throughout the nations of the world. So this is not just Mark wasting time and telling another story. He is pointing you to the work of Christ. He is pointing you to the work of the Messiah, pointing you to the work of the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus, who is the Christ. We must remember that bread is provided for the hungry. But this bread is also for the Gentiles. It is for those who are the non-Jews as well. What does that teach you about Jesus? He's teaching the disciples that there are sheep that are not of this fold, that they must go out, that they must bring the gospel, they must bring spiritual bread to the Gentiles. This is the purpose of Christ. All nations coming unto him. And friends, I would want you also to see yourself here. You must see this provision of bread as being something that is provided for you. Jesus calls himself the bread of life, and Jesus offers himself to sinners like you and me. The prophets knew this. The prophets knew that bread would be provided and that people would be called to come and to eat that which is good and to satisfy themselves in rich food and to come and buy without money and without price. Friends, this is the Christ of the Bible, the one who calls you unto himself to enjoy his riches, to eat of these rich foods, and to know that even as you eat and you are satisfied, that there is always an abundance. There's always more to spare. There's always more that can be poured out unto you from the hand of Christ. Come and eat what is good. Come to this Christ who is compassionate and who loves even the slowness of his people, or he loves his people that have slowness of heart. Come to this Christ who provides for you in all ways and who promises this provision for this life as well as the life to come. Come to this Christ. Amen.